This one is Genesis, first chapter, and we'll be in the second chapter. Then we'll be over in Romans, the fifth chapter, for a few minutes. First chapter, the 27th verse. And the second one, about 21st verse of the second chapter. Father, I glorify you and praise you. I magnify and exalt you. You said we can know the truth and it makes us free. You've exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth will pass, but your word abides forever. I have what I say. I call myself free. I'm dead to this world and alive unto you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm too hungry to go around the mountain again. So I thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit, because He lives big in us. We have access to pure, undefiled revelation knowledge. For this I give you praise and honor and glory. How many knows that praying in tongues is a revelation gift?
Yes, amen.
It causes the mysteries that you're praying out to activate inside of your spirit, and they begin to feed that spiritual mind of yours. When all of a sudden the understandings of the Word of God that sometimes has been passed up for not only generations, but centuries, and suddenly you're finding these things moving on your understanding. Things that sometimes men can't teach us. For men leave off. The Holy Spirit has been commissioned to guide us into all truth. He said, "Thy word is truth." When Jesus was talking about, He says, it's expedient that I go away, which means necessary for the end result. And He said, when He comes, He said, He'll teach you all things. He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Then He makes a real interesting statement. He says, all that the Father has is mine. So He's talking about the priesthood and the place He holds with the Father as the firstborn. So when He says, all that the Father has is mine, and then He says, therefore, or because of this, I say unto you, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit is to receive of mine, which is the standing that I have with the Father as the firstborn. This standing I have with Him and all that it entails. He said, He'll receive this from me and reveal it unto you, so you can understand your standing with the Father, and not only understand it, but you can walk in it. Well, in teaching that, Jesus said some interesting things leading in that 16th chapter of John. He says, and when the Holy Spirit has come, He'll convince the world. Reprove, better words, convince. When He's come, He'll convince the world, He says, of sin, and there's only one reason, because you believe not in Him. Mm-hmm. There's no other reason somebody goes to hell. Just one, because they do not believe in Him. And of righteousness, the second reason, He says, because I go to the Father. Now you're going to have to understand there's only one place the Holy Spirit can convince the world from. It's not hovering over the planet and waiting for somebody to walk by He can talk to. He only has one position to convince the world of these things through, and that's you. You're the church. He's got no other alternative. Only one place to convince the world from. And that's in you. The second said, because of righteousness, because I go to the Father. And I'm thinking, well, if the reason we're in sin is because we believe not in Him, then if we believe on Him, we become righteous, don't we? So you're going to convince the world of righteousness? He said, because I go to the Father. That's right. It took me a while to catch on to what he was saying in that second part. That's right. There was only one entry into this earth Jesus could take. And that was through that single strand of DNA that God made when He created Adam. Mm-hmm. There was no other way into this planet except through that strand of DNA. This is why John says, any man climb up any other way is a thief and a robber. You can't be born of a spiritually dead gene pool and become a redeemer. Yet He had to come on this earth through humanity, narrowing it down through the strand of DNA that all the rest of us come through, which was Adam's. And of the 4,000 years of men and women being born on this planet, Jesus said, no man has ascended into heaven save he that's come down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. If Jesus said, no man has ascended into heaven save he that's come down from heaven, then you can just write it off. Nobody has ascended into heaven. No one save he that's come down from heaven. In other words, no human being who's ever passed through Adam's DNA, through that strand of DNA, that's born on this planet has ever went back except one man. And his name was Jesus. He said, I can reprove, convince the world of righteousness because I go back to the Father. I'm the only man ever to return, and I'm opening the door so you can go home. So welcome back to God, family. Mother's Day. You say ever a human being came through that single strand of DNA? I get tickled at myself. Look at this second chapter in the 27th verse. And God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Isn't this interesting? Male and female created He what? Plural? Do you know how most break this down in Hebrew, Greek? That God created both of them at the same time, but they couldn't figure out how Eve fit in Him. They couldn't figure out how Eve fit into Adam if He created them at the same time. So this is how most of them preach. That Eve existed in Adam, but kind of the same way, like her human spirit was there in Adam's spirit. Kind of like He created this woman's spirit and just stored it in there. Maybe that's where, you know, homosexuals and lesbians come from. Maybe one of them couldn't get out. You know? I hate to say this, but Satan's a homosexual. Well, I don't know where else they come from.
Right.
He's a lost puppy.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, kind of Adam was like possessed. He's kind of possessed with her spirit, you know. Kind of, she just was in there. Probably her eyes fitting his eyes and everything, you know. So they don't know how to teach it because it indicates very strongly that the two of them came into existence at the same time. Created he them. But what makes it interesting on this woman, we've got an account in the second chapter. And this really gets interesting. And he says in the 21st verse, second chapter, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God taken from man, made he woman and brought her unto the man. Isn't this interesting? You know, when you meditate the Word of God or read through it, do you have about 1,000 questions you'd like answered? You know, thank God for the revelation gift of praying in tongues. Amen. So I'm sitting here reading through this and I'm thinking, God, why didn't you just create her body out of the dust of the earth like you did Adam's and blow into it, and all of a sudden, you know, why didn't you do her like you did us? I get the biggest kick out of Adam's creation. Because we know God formed his body out of the dust of the earth, something that already exists. And then it says, and he blew into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so we picture God going, and Adam goes, suddenly I am here. You know, one day, I was just meditating along, and God says to me, do you think I breathe? Well, you got nostrils? Breath of your nostrils? He said, do you think I breathe? He said, what, do you think I'm codependent on something I created like oxygen? Okay, so what'd you do to Adam then? 5th chapter of John says, as the Father hath life within himself, he gave to the Son to have life within himself. The word hath means it always has been, is now, always will be, simply abided eternally, forever, both directions, infinity. For as the Father hath life within himself, he gave to the Son to have life within himself. In other words, the Son's life, his human spirit, came from the substance of the Father. In fact, the very life the second member of the Godhead poured himself into, the human spirit, came from the Father. If the Father hath life within himself, he gave to the Son to have life within himself. And when that life finished its journey, it ended up in you when you were born again. It meant God took the life that was on the inside of himself. And Adam was born from the same life. Why didn't he create Eve's body from the dust of the earth? You know what he was looking for when he took Adam's rib? You know what he was looking for? I can tell you where the woman existed. She existed in the man's DNA. There's only one chromosome difference. And he took that rib and took that DNA out of there, changed that one activation of that chromosome. And when he was done, he had a woman. The whole human race came through that creation. And that creation existed of a strand of DNA that had the blueprint for every human being on it. And he got the woman out of the man because she existed in the DNA with one sequence of difference in the chromosome. And here come the woman. Have you ever wondered, is the kids at playtime? Do you ever wonder why men have breasts? Just one chromosome difference. That's it. There's not much difference between us. Just one chromosome. And that's where he took the woman from. And he got her. And she became the mother of all the living. Hallelujah. Talk about a Mother's Day. No reki tu masiri vroba. Grankali iskretum eskietu esa. Ero hurin ngrakiat sikle petakonno. Probe eskie. Horakalesa. For his knowledge shall indeed increase in these last days. That things will be understood that have not been understood since other errors of teaching and yielding to the Holy Spirit. For all that I have has been made available to you and always has been. And in these last days, as knowledge increases, the knowledge of myself and my operations and my callings and my anointings shall increase. And indeed, this I'd say to you, that even as women are beginning to come forth now under my anointing and taking my place that I have designed from without since the foundations of the world and since the times of redemption, as they come forward, indeed, this shall be realized. For even as it is now, that many things that men would not venture into, that women will venture into. And as there's many things that men or women will not venture into, men will venture into. Did I not create a balance to all things and an anointing for all things? For one cannot do the other, nor can the other do the other thing. Yet there is anointings, but know this. Even though you are the more delicate, the more precious, the more fragile vessel, does not mean that the inside of the clay pot will hold just as much water as the outside of the clay pot of the man, even though it is more rugged. I designed you for the places that you hold. And even though the outer pot is more fragile and more decorated, and the outer pot of the man more rugged, yet the insides hold the same amount of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. For in these last days it shall be realized, and a great wave of my glory will come through, and I will harvest where I have never been able to harvest, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you was Jesus, who would you give your mother to? I mean, if you was Jesus, who would you commit your mother to? Wouldn't it be somebody that probably walked in more love than anybody else on the planet? Some of the last things he said when he was dying, he said, John, behold thy mother. And from that day forward, she became the adopted mother and moved into John's house. And when the siege took place that ended up at Masada about 70 AD, John went to Asia Minor and took Mary with him. History says she died of old age in his house. Asia Minor, Ephesus. At about 100 years old, the Emperor Domitian banished John to the Isle of Patmos, penal colony off the Isle of Turkey. History says at about 100 years old, he was breaking rocks at the bottom of a mine. This is when he received the book of Revelation. He outlived the Emperor Domitian and came back and ministered throughout Asia Minor. This is why some of the most profound teaching on family is done in Ephesians by the Apostle Paul. If you was Jesus, wouldn't you give the caretaking of your mother to somebody that walked in love? And what kind of church would you want to send her to? Wouldn't it be a church oriented, family oriented church, where they at least understood the concept of the marriage covenant? It was in the great teaching in Ephesians when he compared the love that Christ has for the church. When he got all done teaching on how Jesus nourishes and cherishes the church like a husband does his wife, then he ends up concluding the teaching by saying, "Nevertheless, I'm teaching concerning Christ and his great love for the church." Well, in this kind of teaching, he said he was the head of the church. Head is the same thing as covering and provider. Not only is Jesus the head in the covering, but in that same verse in Ephesians 5, he says, he is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. This is my question to him, as he's the head of the church and he's the Savior of the body. If we know he's the head, by the time we read all that out of Ephesians, we'd already know he was the Savior. How could we ever get to the head part without knowing he's the Savior? So says, why did you say he's not only the head but the Savior? Till I understood what head meant. He's not only the covering of the church, but he is her provider. Like the man is the covering for the family, protector, and he is the provider. This is why in Corinthians 11, he said the same thing. He says the head of Christ is God, the head of man is Christ, and the covering of the woman is the man. A man prophesying or praying with his head covered dishonors his head. The head he dishonors is Christ, because he forced a woman, both spiritually in the natural, to rise up and cover the family. And that's as dishonoring to Christ as you accusing him of not providing for you. Thought I'd throw that in, even before the offering. When he said he's the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body, Savior there, because he's head and provider, covering. The word Savior there means that as out of and into. It means he saved you out of sin. He didn't leave you floundering. He saved you out of sin and provided righteousness. Amen. He saved me out of depravity and poverty and the lack that says you can never do nothing. He saved me out of poverty. He gave me inheritance. He saved me out of sickness and disease. And he provided help. He's the head, the covering of the church, and the provider of the body as of, out of, and into. I used to give trying to get rich. Now I give because my new nature won't let me do anything less. What if I was running around committing adultery every day and saying, "I'm not under the law, I'm not under the law, His grace covers it"? You're going to be really surprised when you die.
Well, His grace is sufficient. His grace covers all.
No, listen. Since I'm not under the law, neither am I. But I know if I went committing adultery every day, heaven would not be my final resting place, because the new nature has set me free from it. And if I don't find enough of God to walk in it, I'm still living in the wrong house. Same thing with my giving. Same thing with my giving. I know I'm not under the law, but if I don't have enough of the life of God to give my 10%, then I don't have much of God. I cannot commit adultery anymore every day, any more than I can leave that off. Come on, devil. I quit giving, trying to get rich. Because I found out I am. Boy, he says he wants to love and cherish the church. He said, "I'm not talking about marriage now. I'm just talking about it here, because they understand marriage here, because this is where Jesus' mother lived." He says, Nevertheless, husbands, love your wife even as Christ loves and cherishes the church. Now, we're talking about a place in Him where He not only loves you, He cherishes you. I said, now wait a minute. You mean there's a positional truth I can attain to where He more than loves me, He cherishes me? Glory be to God. Now, you wives have learned when your husband comes home, you're not supposed to search his hands to see what he brought you before you mooch him. You give him a mooch first and then say, what'd you bring me? I remember when Rosalie taught my daughter, Tawny, the more excellent way to get things from people. Little pigtails bouncing along the airport. You get me anything, Daddy? Did you get me anything? And just as soon as I get off the plane. Did you get me anything, Daddy? So Rosalie pulled her aside. She says, love on him a while, Tawny. Love on him a while, then ask. Probably like I do. So you can see, she was really trying. She's walking, she's trying.
Dad.
Yeah.
Do you have a good time?
Mm-hmm.
You miss me?
Yeah.
I love you. I mean, I really love you. I really love you.
Did you get me anything? She put her time in, you know. There's a place I can procure in Him. For He nourishes and cherishes. Well, you know what nourish means? Nourishes and cherishes. I mean, He watches over me and makes sure that I have everything I need to be nourished. Well, not only nourishing me, while He's doing it, He's standing there loving me so much He can hardly stand it. When's the last time you crawled up into His presence and lifted your hands for about an hour? You said, I'm not going to ask for anything. I'd just kind of like to stand here and tell you how much I love you for about an hour. When's the last time you did anything like that? I just would like to stand here and tell you how much I love you for about an hour. I remember when I was breaking into private worship, when the devil come to try to get me to abort, this is one of the things he pulled on me. He said, God knows why you're in here. You're worshiping Him for naught. Sounded like one of Job's encounters.
You're just doing this to see what you can get out of Him.
I said, shut up, devil. He kept on and on. I couldn't feel any presence of God. I could sure feel Him. What was sad, I'd been in private worship for a week or two. So He kept coming back day after day, trying to wear me down. Said, you're just worshiping Him for naught. Which means for what you can get out of Him. That's all. Just for naught. You know you can't worship Him. He won't start giving you things. That's the only reason you're in here. You're trying to work a system. Admit it. He kept on and on. Till one day I just said, okay, devil, just shut up. I can't really tell the difference. But I can tell you, devil, I know I can't be in here, that He's not going to start giving me things. But I can also guarantee you, devil, that's not the reason I'm in here. So just shut up and get out. And he did. That's the part I liked. He did. He just shut up and got out. Now let's think about this place in Him that I can have where He loves and cherishes and nourishes. course, this is never going to happen, but a hypothetical situation. What if Jan Butler got so sick he couldn't even move, and all of a sudden he can't take care of Sue anymore, and can't provide for her, and Sue has to go out and get two or three jobs, and now she's not loving for what he can provide for her. Now she's not loving him for what he can give for her. Now she's not loving him because he provided for the house and made a safe haven for her to live in. He's laying there sick, dying. Now she's working two jobs and paying all the bills, and she's loving him just because he is Jan T. Butler, her husband, and she loves him, so she really don't care what it costs or what she has to do. Well, I certainly don't love him for what I can get out of him. I know I have an inheritance. But I also know there's a place of fellowship with him. He can only compare to the love that a man had for a woman and a woman for a man. And it is a positional place where he says he loves and cherishes and nourishes. And I found out I can go from where I am here to living in that place where he said that I have, because he's already provided it for me. So why should I hang around here when I can go live there? You think giving's an issue to me? You think the insult of 10% is an issue? To think that I would fall below 10% had somebody not prodded me into giving more is an insult. Mm-hmm. Yep. Is anybody having fun?
Glory.
I was going to take it further, but I'm running my time out. Kwasidikia. Boy, did I want to do some more breakdown. But my time's running out. I don't mean Jan's time. I mean the time that God put on me as a pace. La cosa ti ama. I know, Father. Borakidisi elici. Jan, since I've seen you last, I found out more about private worship. And I thought God just wanted me to teach on private worship, so he was showing me it extensively, but really it turned out to be a fellowship, Lim. God kind of tricked me into it. It ended up to be a fellowship, Lim. God used to get me to know him as the Father. Like I never dreamed I could begin to get to know him. I asked Butler if I could give some testimonies. He said, alter this one a little and you can give it. This one happened to me 2 weeks ago. I got a call from a friend that says, listen, I got a friend that's going to a healing school because they got cancer all in their lungs and in their stomach and they're dying. And would you please go see them? And I went up to the hospital because while sitting in school, they had an attack and went to ICU and had so much oxygen on, they could just walk slowly with the oxygen. Well, I got up to the hospital. They had no record. They never heard of such a thing. No record of her being admitted or anything, yet she was there. Mm-hmm. The devil figured he had her dead. Well, she got out in a couple of days or a day later and continued to go to the healing school. We reconnected and I said, look, I'll just come to the healing school. I'll catch you there. I went down there and sat in the back and she's sitting in front of me, all oxygen tanks and breathing. And so, boy, what an excellent message was preached on believing for healing. How, what not to believe, are you going to believe the circumstances and what your body says? Are you going to believe the word? And then there was five healing ministers there. Five healing ministers. So I didn't even know who the woman was. I thought it might be her because she had an oxygen bottle. So they said, let's get this woman up because she has pain. And so the woman with the oxygen bottle went up and it was her. She was racked with pain. Her lungs was eat up. Her stomach was eat up. So they got her and a few others that had pain out of 80 people that was in the healing school that morning. They laid hands on them and prayed and prayed and bound devil, cursed the disease and instructed them. Then they brought her back to her seat and she sat down and I kind of leaned over and says, I know your friend. I came because she wanted me to come to pray for you. So one of the ministers says, you want to pray for her? And I said, yes. She says, who are you? And I told her. And she says, I got to go get permission. So she disappeared and then came back in a while and got permission and says, we can take you to a side room and you can pray for her, okay? But there's two of us have to be in there with you. I said, okay. So I don't care. So two healing ministers went in the room. And a friend of mine, Steve Carpenter, a minister we've trained. So we went and sat down. You know, they were watching everything we did. They're supposed to. I raised my hand and an old familiar friend came in the room. Just filled up. The room filled up. Found myself in John, the 17th chapter, saying, Jesus said, my glory I give unto you, that you may know the Father loves you with the same love that He loves me. That He gave me His glory. He gave me His glory so I could understand, perceive, receive, discern, and experience the same love that He loved Jesus with. He gave me His glory. So I went on. They're listening, you know, and I'm stomping the ground. And I said, so that's what He gave me His glory for. You remember the last time I was here when I taught on this? What was that glory? What was the glory He gave me? If He can make me know that I am loved by the Father with the same love that He loved Jesus. Do you know that? Oh, I'm beginning to. What's the glory that He gave me? You remember? If Arnold Schwarzenegger gave me His glory, I'd be the governor of California. And I would look like it. I'd never wear sleeves again. I couldn't even drop anything. Oh, I dropped an article. I wouldn't even be able to comb my hair. Ooh, if I got Arnold Schwarzenegger's glory, I'd have his muscles, I'd be governor. Ooh, what if I got a computer nerd's glory? Oh, goodness gracious sakes alive. Bedhead and a green drink. Boy, I could break any computer files you could dream up. Like, just sings. You don't hear keys. It whines like a Singer sewing machine. Good Lord. Hey, look at this. President Bush wears striped underwear with an American flag on him. How do you know that? Just don't ask. If I got a computer nerd's glory, what would I get? I'd get his brains, all the ability that went with it, and the glory. But when Jesus said, my glory I give unto you that you may know, what did I get? What did I get? I got his standing with the Father as the firstborn. I don't know how many downborn I am. I'm not the first. But when you get there, you ask him, and he'll tell you the statistical number you were when you came into the family of God on this planet. You were number 3,762. Is that the day I received your standing with the Father? That's right. That you may know the Father loves you with the same love he loves me. Now we're back in the room. She's dying. I reached over and took her by the hand. And all that glory that was in the room fed into her. Then I bound the dead one. She had a coughing fit. It sounded like she's going to fall out of her chair and die right there on the floor. I turned around to the two healing ministers and I said, "It'll be over in a minute." A minute later, she all of a sudden lifts her head up. All her color comes back. She rips that oxygen tank off. Her husband picks it up. They go running out into the lobby, out into the parking lot. I mean, she says, "My God, it's good to breathe again." What happened? Just like that place we're talking about where he loves and cherishes. I'm telling you, there's a place in him. In the Father, so final, so procured by the blood and the grace of Jesus. And you learn how to go there and leave something. You can leave it with such a finality and walk away, and hell itself can't stop it.
Amen.
Can't stop it. I'm winding down. The other day, and I've been teaching on this since God my Father has outlined His character, His nature, and who He is as my Father. I've been making a journey into Him and understanding things about Him that religion excludes. And here's one of them. The finality of the work He did in Christ. As close as He could get to humanity was Christ. Price was paid on that line. Now it's up to you to go to Him. I found out there's such a final place procured in the Father. Anybody can go there and receive anything. Why would He talk like He talks? All things are possible to Him that believeth, and nothing shall be impossible to you. And you can say to this mountain, but religion has stole most of it away from us. But here is one hombre that dies hard. I'll not go quietly into the dark. To my shock and amazement, He came on me after understanding those things which we call faith. And said, "Son, eat your heart out, Michael Jackson, and get saved." He said, "Son." He said, "Did you know that my path to your miracle is as final, is as ordered, procurable as the miracle itself?" He said, "You want to know order, son? All this natural creation is a child of the Spirit. You want to know order? You can operate next to gravity because it's laws of physics. A law's a law because it does not vary. There may be variables, but they're submitted to law too. You can work next to electricity and not get killed because it acts the same way every time. So does gravity. You want to talk order? God is order. We start stuff, we don't finish it, we're haphazard, we fall short, we abort. He's order! Look into an atom.
Yes.
Protons, neutrons, nucleuses, precision, timing. So small, you can't even see it. And you think the path to the miracle is any less final, deliberate, one step in front of the other and ordered than the miracle itself.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You and I, we're going to find out how to go there.
Amen.
We only got a few services to do it. I'll stop with this testimony, which is what I was winding down to. The last meeting I was in, 4-year-old kid, cross-eyed, straightened up, one blind eye popped open. Elderly woman threw her crutches down and walked off. One man had a 500,000-to-1 chance to even get his disease. It deteriorated his eyes. And when he looked at people, he couldn't see nothing but a blur 10 feet away until the glory came through. Well, I like those kind of miracles. Here's the kind I really like. You know, Brad Clymer, one of our preachers and has been for 13 years, his wife Denise, their son, he's 8 years old, has 5 major miracles to his account, including his own mother's eyes. They got healed. Well, I've been training him for 13 years, and his wife Denise, Braden. Denise has scoliosis. The scoliosis was so bad, she had a camel's hump forming on her back. By the time she's 75 or 80, the top of her head would have been pointing towards the floor. Well, she'd been in hundreds of prayer lines before. Understanding such a final place in the Father. Place I didn't pay for. So final. So final. One day the Lord said to me, "You know, son, how I come and take a whole service. Like Jan. You open to your text and suddenly you become a living epistle because His mind drops in you. And you move back and forth in the Holy Ghost till the service is over. And He meets a lot of needs and says things He wants to say for that hour and that moment." Mm-hmm. As the head of the church, He said, "You know how I come and take whole services from you like that?" I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "I'm going to come and take whole days."
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So He gave me just a little warning. He said, "I want you to have a worship meeting this next weekend." I said, "When?" He said, "I want you to have it Friday, Saturday night, Sunday night." Barely had time to get a fly out and do a 1-minute spot for rush hour. And the 1 minute went something like this. The Lord has impressed upon me that there's so many thirsty people to know Him, hungry to move in Him. And it says, "You even understand the concept of like worship and private worship. But you don't understand the war that it invokes." I said, "I've found out about these things. Come." Boy, they came. They were parked to the highway. Denise, with her camel's hump, was just sitting there. All of a sudden, the anointing came on her. All the pain left her back. By the time she could get somewhere and look, the hump was totally gone. She had grew 1.5 inches. It was totally straight and out of pain.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
That's not counting the woman that had a cantaloupe-sized growth in her stomach till she got up off the floor. And it was gone. I'm talking about a place. Bokesi. Do you have pain? Anybody in here have pain? If you have pain, just stand up where you're at. You have pain, stand up where you're at. Why don't you think that the path to the miracle is as final and ordered as the miracle itself? As that I do now. I do now. I want you to geographically look around and locate these people. Now, these standing currently have pain. If you got anything you need to be healed of, stand up and join the people with pain now. I wouldn't mind a little soft music if anybody wanted to. Although it might activate me to get lost in worship. Well, he's not waiting on me anyway. Father, nochrenki. One more time, Abba, from whom I bear witness and am witness to that you're my Father. How can I say thanks that you love me and them enough to pay such a price in your Son? I want to thank you for that place in healing and miracles where pain dissipates and where their bodies become normal. That was procured for us out of that love some 2,000 years ago. And I'm addressing that place now. I command all the pain. Pain. You have to go. I say, and I rebuke you. And are you listening to me? I rebuke you, pain. Are you listening to me? In the name of Jesus, pain. I rebuke you. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you, pain. Yes, could I say, you're the one not wanted here. I rebuke you. Jesus' name, and command you to leave their body. I speak a miracle in the name of Jesus. The other day I had a Holy Ghost line and they come running up to be filled. And a woman standing in front of me, eyes went white on me. They went white. She started screaming, no, no, no. And I just said, who's talking to you? The devil was screaming, no, no. And I said, no one's talking to you. She fell forward on me, slid down my body. Ended up on the floor and jumped back up speaking with tongues. I just love it where he is. I just love it. I can't say, Father, in Jesus' name, pain, you have to go. And before these meetings are over, Father, I thank you for eyes. Ooh, and those teeth miracles. All those eye miracles. Morakiesele. I celebrate you, Father. I glorify and magnify you. And thank you that it is done. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Start checking your body out. Do what you couldn't. Do what you couldn't. Feel yourself gouge, poke, bend over. Bend your knees, lift your arms. Do what you couldn't. Then you can be seated. Hallelujah. So Jesus was the first man born on this planet. If we can convince the world of righteousness, because he's the first one that ever left this planet and went to heaven.
Well, how about Enoch and Elijah?
How about them? Underneath the shadow, there was places of great comfort. Abraham's bosom was under our dispensation of promise. Before that, it was the promise he made Noah. Before that, promise he made Adam. But these men didn't go to the presence of God to stand there. They went to the Old Testament shadow, place of comfort and waiting, but a wonderful place. Like heaven has levels, so did the shadow. So did the shadow. But the first man to open the portals, the gates of heaven, that went through Adam's DNA and to return was Jesus. Hallelujah. If your pain left your body, stand back up. Woo, stand back up. Hallelujah. Glory. Stay standing. Woo. In the back. Come up here. You look to... Oh. What happened? It's got to be good. Hallelujah. It's got to be good. Now, what kind of pain did you have? What kind of pain?
Diagnosed with hepatitis C, and I have a cirrhosis in the liver, and the shots that I put give me pain all over my body.
And
now
you have
I
no
walk. And now and the pain is gone. And I declare that I got a new liver.
You got a new liver too.
In the name of Jesus and the heaven.
Why would the pain stop?
In the name of Jesus.
New liver.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory. I tell you what, even my liver quivered. Woo. Even my liver quivered. Felt like I had a triple shot of Starbucks. What kind of pain?
Oh, I had pain in my foot.
Your foot?
My right foot, and I've been having a lot of trouble with it, and I kept binding it and telling the devil he's a liar, and I didn't care what my body said, but you said if you had pain, stand up.
That's right. That you let me get in on your agreement.
Amen.
That's part of your answer.
Amen.
You kept saying you had it, didn't you? I have it. I mean, I have the answer.
Right.
You kept saying, so why wouldn't it come?
Amen.
God doesn't care how he gets it to you.
That's right.
And the pain's gone?
It's gone.
Yeah, would it hurt you if you walked upstairs?
No.
How about before?
Yeah, it did.
Glory! Some things belong to God, you know. All the glory just happened to be one of those main things. Ma'am?
Both hips.
Both hips.
My feet.
And into your feet.
Yeah.
How long?
I've had it for a couple years. The past week has been really bad. And it
Ooh.
I said, I'm making it this morning, Lord.
He said, I'm making it. And the pain?
It's gone.
All gone? Should we make her run a little or something? I don't know. All gone. Yes, so kill us. Last Sunday, there's a woman that had operation, had hers taken out, piece of steel put in. They made a mistake. One leg was an inch and a half longer, had to have built up shoes, hurt her back excruciating, a false hip, and a big old pin together. So and then she had to have built up shoes, and God all of a sudden pulled that leg backwards. It went in, and she couldn't wear the built up shoes. All the pain left. She could run barefooted up and down the stairs. All gone.
They wanted to put braces.
See, but they want to put braces. Come here. Threw the prescriptions away, bound it, and they wanted to put braces. That's what this woman couldn't walk without her special shoes. You should have seen the way she come back the next day dressed up with shoes. Oh, goodness. Let's see. Now we know this from the people that had pain. What happened to all of them that stood up that didn't? Just because you couldn't feel it doesn't mean that the same percentage didn't take place. And what kind of pain?
That pain is when I was 20 years old. Arthritis, scoliosis.
Arthritis, yeah. Just like we was talking about.
Yeah, I had it since I was like 3 or 4 years old, and I didn't know how Jesus is going to react to me, and I didn't know the Holy Ghost is going to react to me then, but I know it now, and I got born again. I was 13 years old, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost at some church, and then it's all the pain is gone away, and I... When I grew up, the same kept coming,
trying to convince you.
Fight. Pain, and I have been having pain in my waist, my legs.
In your legs and waist.
Hip, in my back.
But now?
And my back went straight. And
how about now?
Oh, now.
Gone?
Gone.
All gone?
All gone.
Oh. I can't take it. I don't know how much longer I'm going to last. It's hard for me. It should be some kind of refrigerator day in hell that we can't stop. Give him all the glory, shouldn't it? And what kind of pain did you have?
Pain in my left arch.
In your left arch?
In my right shoulder. I had surgery in my right shoulder in 97.
And your rotary area?
Yes.
And it had pain? Your arch had pain?
Yes. And as I was standing there, just before you said to sit down, I felt the most wonderful feeling just come over my head and just flow right through
Jesus.
My whole body. And all the pain left. And I just feel so light and just so so fresh and wonderful. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Listen, he hasn't stopped healing. He hasn't stopped. Well, don't everybody jump up for a moment, because I'm trying to go on, but this is what he's doing. Jump up and lift those hands, because some things belong to God and all the glory. All the glory is one of those things. And while you're standing here glorifying and praising him for what he did for them, why don't you include a few of your problems? The raise, the unanswered prayer, the thing you've been standing for. If he's here like that, why don't you lay hold on him? Give him some glory, because it's already done. Hallelujah. Sorry, other people. Get your testimony before it's over. But I couldn't hold the wall back. He wanted to keep moving, and I just couldn't hold back. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I got something to say. Glory. Anything else? Jesus. You got anything else to say? How about hallelujah? I'm more excited than ever. Burn out. My foot burn in. I'm an indelible print. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now I'm going to tell you just flat out whatever you're asking Him for now. So I hope some of you didn't think we was just talking. Because whatever you're asking for now, I know Him. I know what He's doing. God looks for ways to get into your life. When Steve Carpenter, the man that was in training, when we had to go in the room with that one guy that was, that woman that had cancer, and he said, I turned to him because this is part of the schooling. I said, Steve, did he want to heal him when he was in the other room, in the healing room? He looked at me and he knew what I was doing. He said, yeah, God wanted to heal him. He did. As he wanted to heal him when they all laid hands on him, right? He said, he did. If he didn't, he wouldn't have just healed him 10 minutes later when he was in here. I said, I tell you what, Steve. He not only wanted to heal him in there, he didn't even want him to get the disease. Or her, I mean. Not only did he not want her to get the disease, but he wanted to heal her any time after she got it that he could get in. You have to understand, he isn't holding anything back. The devil will use circumstances to create religion and convince you one way or the other. I got some real good news for you. He got that over to that woman as quick as he could. When he found what he needed to do it with, that's the day he came in and done it. Now, when I said in some people's meetings, that's an indictment on my faith. Because they get some people healed and I couldn't get them healed. And they get them healed. That means he wanted them to be healed when I prayed for them. The one thing I'm sure of now, that path we were talking about, I'm on it. I'm heading for a place. And I will not be the same anymore. Can't you? I'm heading for a place. Well, you can be seated again. If you ask me what I'm going to use most of this offering for, I'll tell you. To print as many books as I can. It's just went into Korean. And they're ordering thousands and thousands of the books. Why? Because they're going to smuggle them from the south to the north. They're going across the border, the most beautiful printing you've ever seen in Korean. Hallelujah. The book's going crazy. Our whole order is out again. We don't have any books because the last back order took the new shipment. And it's never been advertised. So I'm going to buy as many books as I can. Testimony, last place I was with the book. I just was running out of it. We had 4 copies. This was in Yucca Valley. It's in Yucca Valley. A young man's wife, 1 month ago, was killed in a car wreck. 31 years old. Left. 4 foster kids, 3 of her own. Her husband became bitter over it. He said, I'm going to church this Sunday. That was today. He said, I'm going to tell them, thank you for being with me. But I don't believe in a God. I don't believe in a God that would take a mother. goodbye. That's what he's coming today to do in Palm Springs, Yucca Valley. Then he paused. His wife loved that book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. She loved it. If that's God, tell him I have till 25 minutes till, or 20 till. Yeah. I calls me when I go over. It's okay. Told you I was being paced. I can't hear him. He gets to me. Thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah. He says, my wife loved that teaching, and whoever this man was that wrote the book, she loved him. He says, arrange a meeting with him. Arrange a meeting with him, God, and then I'll believe. Well, my son David, he's a snake hunter. And he likes to go out and hunt snakes in the desert and things. So he drives 50 or 60 miles out into the desert. And he's looking for some directions where good hunting places are. He knows this little gas station and two guys standing there. So they get to talking. He says, by the way, and they give him his name. And he says, my name's David Roberson. They says, David Roberson. He says, you ever heard, are you any kin to the guy that wrote that book? My son says, that's my dad. He says, your dad? He said, yes. So then David brought him back to the hotel. He ministers to him. Brings him back, and he ends up laying on the sidewalk in front of the hotel out under the power. He gets up. It's over. The statistics, there isn't any. So now, instead of giving his announcement, he's in church. When one of the first books went to Ireland, a woman, she got the book and read it, and because it was the first publication, she said, one of our preachers gave it to a friend, changed her life, gave it to a friend, changed her life, gave it to a friend, changed her life, gave it to another friend, changed. Five people later, she's trying to get her book back, couldn't find it. Finally, she gave up. Benny Hinn came to a neighboring country. She said, I'm just going to go to his meeting. So she gets on the plane, sets down. This woman sets down by her, and all of a sudden, she gets that book out, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. Woman starts reading it. So our friend says, where'd you get that book? She says, a friend loaned it to me, and I'm not going to give it back. Oh, this is five friends later. She says, can I see the book? She says, okay. And she opens it up, and her name is in the back of it. So she gets her passport out. She says, this is my book. I'm just, one more, just don't. Jan's going to receive an offering. What's the odds? All right. Jan. Okay, I get the hint. So this offering, as much as possible, we're going to warehouse. We're going to just order all the books we can. It's going into 16 languages now. Gee.